Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 4 of the Uncanny Valley podcast. With you, as always, is Mike.
And Maclack, thank you for joining us again.
I'm sorry, what?
Billiam.
Okay, because I couldn't hear anything you were saying.
I'm sorry, I was watching something.
Stop covering your mouth.
Yeah.
I was watching something, leave me alone.
Unless you're preventing from throwing up, there's no point, so.
Leading
us in is a thank you from Seven Dust off their more recent album. A recommendation from Maclack, actually. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Off their Kill the Flaw album.
The Flaw?
Good CD. If you like the band, I'd recommend it.
Bad CD if you don't like the band.
Yeah. Otherwise, whatever. Here's. We do our own shit.
The last time you heard Seven Dust was from the Freddy vs. Jason soundtrack.
Dude, I just read, funny you mentioned that, I just read an article that said like Freddy vs. Jason was just released like on, I think yesterday, 13 years ago, and I was like, oh my god, that was a long goddamn time ago.
Yeah, that was. It kind of makes you feel fucking old. Er.
Older. Yeah.
Older.
Yeah.
You old older. Bastard.
And I mean, and just for perspective, I'm 29, Maclack's 30.
Just turned, well, now a couple months, but yeah, 30 this year.
And wait for it.
And
Billy's, how old's Billy? 60?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Keep it going.
See, he's
over here all night.
I thought I saw social security checks.
They're forged.
They're forged. It's sad, though, even though they're forged, people still fucking believe you. They're like, yeah, he still looks old, but yeah, you know.
I don't get questions.
Yeah, they don't even give a shit.
Yeah.
So, yes, we're actually enjoying some drinks around this time. I've been drinking.
Well, I wouldn't say really enjoying. I'm kind of disappointed on the purchase I made.
That beer sucked.
And yeah, it's not great.
It tastes like yellow label Coors Light.
Coors.
No, it does.
It sucks compared to the price you paid for it.
I can't justify the price that I paid for it.
A $9 six pack.
But it was in Virginia. So
it was in Virginia.
I was expecting a little bit. You know, a little bit different of a, I guess, cloudiness to it, but it looks like pee.
It looks like yellow label, and it tastes like yellow label Coors.
Yeah.
Yellow label Coors.
Should we bother mentioning what it is? Handywood?
Don't support them.
Handy?
No, maybe support them. I don't know.
I like the name, Hardywood. Hardywood
like
is a good
cool.
Name.
I don't mind
they
it.
They might have something else.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe they.
But, they're from Virginia. Yeah, they can look cool, but I just can't justify $9 for a six-pack.
No, never again.
Let me take that back. $9.99.
Like the Holocaust, never again.
Yeah, so we're on the borderline of $10.
Yeah.
That's like concert price.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
Not at a baseball game.
And we introduced Maclack to Absinthe, which is my drink of choice. So it's the first time he's drinking. He hates
very smooth,
licorice.
But God damn, I hate black licorice.
If you like good and plenty,
you'll love
Absinthe.
Plenties, you'll love the shit out of it.
It's so smooth and I wouldn't
it
say
is.
It's delicious. Like
no,
I mean,
it is smooth. You don't even know that you're drinking.
But let's be honest here. When it comes to alcohol, no one actively seeks out alcohol specifically
now,
because it tastes delicious. We drink alcohol because we fucking have to.
Have you tried a similar proof alcohol with that many sugar cubes melted into it and that much water added to it?
Well, that's a shot. You try to do that with Bacardi, it would still taste like fucking ass juice mixed with sugar.
I'm just saying, four sugar cubes melted into one shot, and then the rest of the tumbler full of water.
I can't imagine.
Let's
it
try
being
it.
Any different
Let's
than,
try it. You have any Everclear?
No. What is it? The fire like Fireball whiskey.
Yeah.
You know? I still to this day have not tried Fireball whiskey. The smell alone detours me because I cannot stand that much cinnamon in one place at one time. It's like shoving
a
wad of
house.
After we just got done eating cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
We
I
just
hate
got
cinnamon,
done
but
that's
shove the
so different.
Cinnamon rolls in my face.
Cinnamon rolls do not taste like a fucking wad of Big Red.
Yeah, that's what it tastes
like
Big Red.
It is.
Yeah.
It's just way too much. Uh-huh. And it's just, I can't deal with that. But also the sweet, it's kind of a... You know, it kind of throws you off a little bit, and I think that'll make you sicker.
Well, I think that's what's surprising about the Absinthe is it does have so much sugar in it, and it doesn't taste sweet.
Yeah, that's the other part I was gonna say. It's
I'm sure your blood sugar thinks it's sweet.
Yeah,
pretty much. You're gonna wake up with the worst hangover ever, but yeah.
But
should be noted that Absinthe is the artist's drink. It has been for millennia.
But when you're drunk, you get absolutely nothing done. So.
So it's the artist's drink.
It's kind of the point. Absolutely. One could argue artists don't do anything.
Because he's drunk. Procrastination at its finest is absinthe in a, you know, in its bottle.
Yep. So I kind of want to talk about this the whole reason nobody really kind of understood what
behind
the name the Uncanny Valley podcast or what Uncanny Valley meant in general.
Robot vaginas.
So I think I had to explain it to you actually. So I mean, but I had been asked about it, like, what's Uncanny Valley? I mean, it's a cool name, but
I asked what the significance of it was. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
I haven't heard that term. I know, you know, the
you've heard of it.
Well, not even that.
Heard it been said.
Not even the explanation of it. Just the definition alone is something that I'm aware of. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just
knowing
the term
exactly.
Yeah. Is,
so for those who aren't aware, the Uncanny Valley is that section of the psyche where you're looking at an inanimate object that has somewhat of a human face, and it's that point when it looks a bit too realistic.
Is it mental too? I mean,
no,
like,
it's all psychological.
Has a like artificial intelligence,
right? Anything that has humanistic characteristics.
Yeah.
So dolls, ventriloquist dummies.
Dave.
Yeah, you reach the uncanny valley where it becomes a little too eerie because it looks a little too human, and it makes people feel uncomfortable. I mean, sometimes dolls scare me.
Kristen had that famous ventriloquist doll. I can't remember the name of
Charlie
it.
McCarthy?
Yeah.
I have one.
She had one.
Yeah.
An original one. And
I love mine.
I don't know what happened to it. It's gone. We've been trying to find it.
I busted. Yeah, I put a hole in it.
You busted what now? You put a hole in it?
I busted a nut.
That's how you put the hole in it?
Pretty easy. I learned from Michael Jackson.
He had a Charlie McCarthy, but he called it Bubbles.
Or Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin was a ventriloquist puppet. He still is one now. Have
pretty
you seen
much. He's just like a, well, he's less meth. He's more machine than man.
have you heard his band?
Oh yeah, it's terrible.
The pizza.
Yeah, it's like if the Dillinger Escape Plan didn't make metal music, it would be Macaulay Culkin's band.
Didn't know as much
if
technical math
and wasn't good at musicianship at all.
Yeah.
That would be Macaulay.
The Dillinger folk band.
Oh,
and then just remember that somehow he still dated Mila Kunis for years and left her.
Yeah.
Wow.
And did he leave her?
And he left her.
Shit.
He was just like
that poor thing.
You're not my type.
Yeah.
He's
not.
British, apparently.
Apparently.
Either that or he watches one too many Monty Python skits.
He did make a really good video, though, that I saw. It was
Home Alone 2 is what it's called.
Well, no, the one where he's...
Donald Trump's in that movie.
No, what?
Where he talks like as if...
is it
he
the
trauma
one?
From
the
Home
the
Alone?
Uber, yeah, he gets in an Uber.
Uber driver.
Or he is the Uber driver, but he has the guy he picks up drive him. Like, he tells him, he's like, yeah, I don't have my license. You want to drive? So...
I've never seen that.
It's all right.
It's actually really good. But he just goes on this fucking tangent about how traumatized he was by the movie Home Alone.
Oh, he was traumatized by the millions he made off of his entire life before he reached the age of 9. Like,
well, you know,
that guy was ridiculous.
It's a perspective thing, but
yeah. He has an OD though, so props to him on that one.
Hey man,
props
Daniel,
to each their own.
Daniel Stearns did a follow-up video to that, actually.
Daniel Stern did?
Yeah,
Daniel
about
Stern's
him being traumatized from getting fucking violently hurt by all his traps.
By Joe Pesci and shit like that.
The best shit in the world was that gut-wrenching scream he let out with the spider on his chest.
Oh, yeah.
beautiful. That falls into like a multiple rewind section. You know, like there's a lot of movies where you like...
That would definitely... That could easily be sampled into other stuff.
Definitely. Like, did you see, I'm sure you've both seen Clueless?
Yeah.
I'm sure at one point in time back when...
All right, well, there's 99? A scene where, what's her face, the chick who died.
The chick who died?
The chick who died.
Exactly.
Good shit.
Perfect.
I had to, sorry. So who died? Who died?
The girl who died, she was in Sin City.
Jessica Alba?
No,
her career died, but not her.
No.
Brittany Murphy.
Brittany Murphy.
She died in pneumonia
or
something like
that. There's
a
scene where she was walking down the stairs at the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones concert.
Oh, Clueless. Yeah.
Clueless, yeah. And she fucking totally ate shit coming down the stairs. And if you pause it, she fucking racks her head on the stairs like hard as shit.
I thought you were going to say, if you pause it, you see a nip slip.
No nip slip. But the head crunk is just worth it in itself. You know, that's one of those where, you know, you just keep rewinding that thing and watching. Do-do-do-do-pa.
I do that with life. I try to rewind life anytime someone bangs their head.
Yeah, that just happened. I'm going to see that again.
Yeah.
Well, with cell phones, you can.
It's true. This is true. Yeah.
And eventually, you know, once you have your little AI pet friend or whatnot with you, you know, going
the uncanny valley friend.
The uncanny valley.
Uncanny value.
The uncanny value. That's going to be the mark where you pick
up
your
AI. There we go. Let's open up a store called the uncanny value.
There you go. And it's cheap AI that doesn't really do what you tell it to. But yeah, then you can record life as it happens.
This is true. This is true.
Boom.
So yes, episode 4. Thank you for sticking around and sending us ideas and information. But today we are going to reach part 2 of our sex trilogy.
Sex trilogy. Wait, part 2?
Part 2.
What was part 1?
Hellraiser. Were you here? You were here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you were part of that podcast, I'm pretty sure.
Nightmare 2, and then
Alien.
I was mild, but that would be 3 then.
That would be part 3. We're on part 2.
Yeah, we're on part 2.
God damn, where did you learn to count?
Are we not doing Alien?
Of a trilogy. We have not done Alien yet.
Jesus Christ, where the fuck am I?
You need to stop drinking absinthe.
Serious.
Yeah, so, part 2. So, we initially talked about Hellraiser last time around, and we talked about all the overt sexual innuendos, but things that were just out there and blatant about the entire film. I mean, the whole movie itself was allegorical for just sex and, you know, S&M and the dirty side of most of our minds and what we were willing to do to increase our pain and pleasure. So, moving on to part 2.
Summit Inn is on fire.
Isn't that where they have the crazy burgers?
The ostrich burgers?
Ostrich burgers?
Yep.
Wow.
Shit, that's close,
that's
man.
That's super close.
Yeah, that's actually...
Anybody listening,
which,
yeah, we
on
have...
On its way towards my house.
There's a fire that's burning. It's pretty, pretty close to home right now.
Yeah,
this
one's probably the closest.
It's burning through landmarks that have been there for decades. And I guess one of them is the ostrich burger place. So, it's pretty crazy.
Summit Inn is on fire
right now.
Yeah.
I think Amanda and I just went there last year sometime.
Yeah.
No, you and I went there not too long ago.
Well, not too long ago.
It was probably a long time ago.
They have decent breakfast.
They had great breakfast. Well, they did have great breakfast.
Yeah. Insurance money.
Too soon?
Their barbecue might be pretty good
too
now.
Uh oh.
Seriously?
Is that too loud?
No, I can hear everything now. It's great.
Okay, yeah.
It's really low right now.
Oh, okay.
Swell.
All right.
But yeah, that fucking sucks. Yeah, there's just, like, I don't really care, like, well, I mean, I shouldn't say I don't really care. It sucks that businesses have to, freaking fall because of things like this. But the McDonald's is possibly threatened right now in the past. Scale House is, it might have been saved. I'm not sure.
McDonald's and Chevron are also on fire.
They're on fire right now?
They're on fire.
Well, Chevron's right there next to it.
Yeah, so. Obviously.
Yeah, but there's also a Shell across the street.
The Shell.
Yeah.
I don't know about
we were talking
Shell
about the
Del Taco.
We don't want the Del Taco to burn down right there.
Like, no.
Yeah.
But, so SoCal is on fire again. You know, this happens every year. It just different areas get affected. Mm-hmm.
We're pretty shitty human beings if we have an actual regular fire season like that. We're at thousands of acres a year get burned over and over again.
No kidding.
I mean, the new
They
life
said the
is
first
cool.
one was a hoverboard?
Yeah. Yeah. It was some sort of stupid-ass hoverboard.
It
sparked.
There was one that just happened to you. I think it was a cigarette. I think a cigarette did it.
Yeah, there's like another one in Santa Clarita, too.
That won't happen if they vaped.
No, if they vape, they just spontaneously combust now.
Yeah, but then the person dies. We don't care about them.
I think that was.
I only care about the wildlife.
You know how everyone's doing those mod boxes for the vaping?
Like, yeah, that just makes it worse.
They're exploding in people's hands and shit. I think
natural selection.
Yeah, well, that too. But I think like the cigarette companies have just gotten said, "Hey, man, they really like this and they like it a lot. So let's make it as big and fucking absurd as possible."
Yeah.
That way they just blow themselves up. It's great.
Mm-hmm. So that's our awesomeness that's going around in the world around us. Our entire house is engulfed in just dark, dense cloud of ashes and hatred.
Yeah, you might want to do that.
Yeah, and there was a pretty tall.
But the thing is not built.
Pretty tall cross that was on top of one of the San Bernardino Mountains that burned down, and they got videotape of that one. So that was kind of sacrilegious. Cross burned down.
Yeah, that was a crazy video. That happened like instantly. Yeah. So like, fuck, man.
Apparently, Jesus is incredibly flammable. Incredibly.
That cross
didn't help a damn thing.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Sorry.
Tangent man strikes again. So yes, as God moving into part two, we are going to discuss the oft maligned and pretty underappreciated sequel to
called the gayest horror film ever.
It's hard to argue. It's hard to argue.
The first 10 minutes, I mean, you kind of get introduced to.
Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge. Quick. Yeah, it came out immediately after, within the year of the original Nightmare on Elm Street, Wes Craven's masterpiece, as far as I'm concerned.
And without further ado, Synopsis Man!
Synopsis Man.
Yeah. First, let's listen to the trailer.
Oh, shit, that too.
Oh, my God.
Damn, where the
fuck? It's not been that long.
We got to layer the shit out of this.
Jeez, we need a timeline here.
Cheese and crackers.
We
got to
make a schedule for Billy. He forgets. No gold star this week.
Instead of having him like re-listen to the cast, we're just going to fucking take notes and just have him review them every single week. Do you remember when this happened, Billy?
He's cliff notes for his own
podcast. How about this? Do you remember when this happened? So, yes, without further ado, this is A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge.
YMCA.
No.
Someone is coming back to Elm Street. He is not friendly. He is not patient. And he is not a welcome visitor. But he has something terribly special for the new kid on the block.
It's not going to happen again.
Dad!
In trouble. You've had some scary dreams, okay?
Help!
Daddy can't help you now.
There's something inside him.
Fight him! You're not afraid of him. He doesn't even exist.
Freddy Krueger is back on Elm Street. Watch out for him. He'll be in your neighborhood soon. A Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 2.
All my children now.
Freddy's Revenge.
Yes, so yes, Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 2, Freddy's
what
Revenge.
What the fuck was that?
Yes. So, all right, lead us in, Macluck. Let's give us some more information on this film.
Basic background of Freddy's Revenge. Like I said, the most unintentional, or claimed the most unintentionally gay horror film ever.
I'm sure we can find other.
There's possible in the B movie realm, or even C movie realm. I'm sure there's some actual
theatrical film, large
gay.
We don't
want to
look over
or homosexual
it,
films.
Waters.
John Waters.
John Waters, mm-hmm. Yes. He's probably got a few to throw in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
But continue.
Yeah. Quick rundown. Family moves into one of the houses.
Nancy Thompson's house. So the protagonist from the original.
From the original one. Where the older brother, lead character, gets Freddy dreams, where Freddy's trying to actually possess him to use his body as the vessel to continue his murder spree of killing primarily young teenage people, high school ages, but
mm-hmm.
he doesn't worry about killing maybe gay gym coaches. He's got no problems with that either. After
it's got
the
no
very weird
makes no bone
scene.
About that.
Woo.
It had some good special effects scenes. It was definitely a weaker film compared to some of the others in the series. Left by Wes Craven. He didn't want it. He never envisioned it being a big multi-movie film. He didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, he didn't want it to be a franchise.
He didn't want it to be a franchise at all.
Yeah.
And that certainly bitch slapped him in the face.
He still did okay, but it would have been beneficial for him to continue with it, that's for sure. And it was actually almost Robert Englund's last film. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to bring him back because he demanded more money. They said, fuck you, we'll just get someone else. And they actually started filming with somebody else. And the guy sucked
like,
ass.
They were like, fuck, we need Robert Englund. Let's
he sucked.
I didn't realize
so bad.
It wasn't just the vocal performance.
Yeah, he made
but
that.
It was
wasn't just some guy in the mask. It was him.
And they fucking proved it again in the remake. I mean, you can't just keep changing, especially someone whose face is shown. You know, I mean, that's Robert Englund with burn makeup on. You know, it's not like, you know, Michael Myers or Jason or Leatherface. You can't just throw a mask on somebody and call it something else.
Jason wears a different guy almost every film.
Well, yeah, you know, friggin' Hodder had the longest run, I think.
Three films?
Four.
Was it four?
Quattro.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, that's something you just need a big guy and throw a mask on him and you got Jason.
Done deal.
Freddy, it's like,
there's personality in the character.
Yeah, there's,
of course,
there's so much else to him.
You know, but
part two primarily still stayed with the horror roots. It did try to still be a psychological horror. It didn't try to veer off into the comic book territory that it would eventually become into. Especially with part three. Part three was still a horror film, but it kind of began the one-liners that Freddy became accustomed to in the 80s, and that kind of launched him into pulp culture status because of it. But he was still very intimidating and very scary at that time. And they did at least try to do something different. They didn't want to rehash it. They did try to do something different in the grand scheme of things. And I think, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, is this one of the only ones where he didn't just kill kids on Elm Street? Like, he killed other people, right?
Well, he ventured out. I mean,
and adults. And, you know, his main goal wasn't to just kill people on Elm Street. It was like a consequential thing, but like at the party, those kids weren't the main party scene. Those kids didn't all live
on
Elm Street.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think the coach
because
it was supposed to be off of the
basis of they were like the relatives of
right. It was a. I mean, the main premise of the original is that Freddy was he was basically. He was exposing, or he was
exposed by the town, or by the
right,
the
but
families,
he,
like the neighborhood watch people, you know, or the
yeah, but he was enforcing like the sins of the children, or enforcing the sins of the father onto the children.
Yeah.
So you know, all the parents that did him wrong, he wanted to take it out on the kids that from Elm Street and that particular thing, and that kind of stayed true throughout the whole franchise. But this one kind of It was more localized in the house. Like, it was just that was more important for him to just kind of make a name for himself again and come back. And in doing so, you have a film where at times it does kind of fit the psychological horror film mold because you don't know if Freddy is real or if Jesse is actually projecting him and he's the one making the killing, killing scenes.
I think that it was basically like, I mean, obviously they showed him as Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not till the end of the movie, though.
I think, though, that what everybody else saw was Jesse.
Right, right.
Doing all this shit. You know, like, he had the glove. You know, he found the glove down in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then basically whatever happened, whenever it showed Freddy killing someone, you know, and then it panned off to Jesse holding the glove or with the, you know.
In the aftermath, yeah.
Yeah, so I think what people actually saw and what, you know, he was, I whenever you saw Freddy, it was Jesse's view. And then whenever you saw, like, when the people were getting murdered or whatever, that was just everyone else's. You know what I mean? So it was probably never really Freddy to begin with.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean that's why I kind of like I commend them in that aspect because they did want to try to do something different because after that the formula stayed the same. Freddy was inevitably and undeniably the killer, and they made no bones about that.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much, you know, the running thing about the entire franchise. So this one they tried to do something different. I think
what was it? Friday the 13th. when it was the person who was not Jason.
Yeah, Jason Lives.
Was that Jason Lives?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, where it was a totally different person, you know, taking on the role of Jason.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, but...
Even in that sense, that and the Friday the 13th franchise tried something different. They not nearly as successful than Part 2. I think Part 2 is criminally underrated because everybody obviously had high hopes for it. Wes Craven didn't come back, and they kind of denied Craven franchise rights for years. So all those sequels, he wasn't making a dime off of it.
Oh.
And I think
that was part of the first contract. The contract... So the first movie, he had to sign over his rights to New Line Cinema.
So if
is that so we can get Final Cut? That's probably why. Yeah,
so they own the rights to do any other sequels, whether he had a part
of it or
not. So
he did not do any till Freddy's...
Till New Nightmare.
Till New Nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. Bob Shea, the producer of New Line at the time, wanted to make another movie. They had ended on such a sour note with Freddy's Dead, which was like the worst in the entire fucking franchise. It's so bad. And so they wanted a way to kind of revive it and give the film franchise a nice send off, but they wanted to bring Wes back. And I guess that was part of it, that they felt that Wes didn't get a fair shake, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So one, they wanted to bring him back and concoct his own story, but also two, kind of get him some of those rights and some of the bucks. Because I mean, aside from the fact he did create it, he wasn't just a director of the original Nightmare on Elm Street. He did create the character, you know, and the plot synopsis and everything like that. That was a Wes Craven thing. You know, rarely do you see that nowadays in horror films. A director's just a director. You don't really hear the creative side of things kind of take over for the director, but he did. He did a lot back then. So it's kind of interesting. But with Part 2, I mean, obviously... Elm Street was so incredibly successful, they wanted to jump on that bandwagon again and jump in that cash cow, because it got critical.
Yeah,
it was critical success, but also box office. Well,
I should say most of the 80s sequels, you know, they were strong. There was a lot of strong sequels. You know, Halloween 2, you know, Friday the 13th Part 2. You know, this one kind of didn't really fit that bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being that it's the second part of a successful first one.
And it still wasn't a slasher movie in the traditional sense. You know, it wasn't just a boogeyman going around like what Freddy became. With the whole idea with Jesse playing mind games with himself and developing all these crazy things, you know, amidst, you know, his parents don't believe him. His life at school is terrible. He doesn't have a lot of friends. He's incredibly sexually awkward.
So essentially, it was a movie about Jesse coming out.
That's kind of where we should kind of go into it, because this is where the controversy begins. At the time when Freddy's Revenge was released, It's stated from the director primarily and a lot of the people on the cast and crew that the film was not meant to be at all like typical queer cinema. It wasn't meant to be an arm extension of the LGBTQ community in any way, shape, or form. The problem is that they hired a gay actor as their primary lead. And that kind of... will spiral things and kind of get the ball rolling in a sense, because, you know, a person's character and their charisma can really shine through and through on screen, whether they intend to or not. And Mark Patton at the time, I think he was still battling. I don't think he was even openly gay at that time. I think he was still closeted.
No, yeah,
and this is right smack dab in the middle of the AIDS epidemic.
Roles.
Yeah, this is right smack at, you know, Hollywood was terrified. I had heard that during the mid to late 80s, because the AIDS epidemic was so scary to people, you know, unjustifiably scary to people, that a lot of TV shows and films, they would make you take a blood test in order to be a part of their crew or be a part of the cast. And if, you know, you came up as HIV positive, you were blacklisted from Hollywood. And it was a completely different time, you know. People don't realize that, you know, the gay community was oppressed for so long, and to a certain extent, they still really, really are. I mean, Obama just recently gave out the orders that we can have, you know, marriage equality, which that's just so only happened in the last couple fucking years.
So many states are still trying to fight it.
Uh-huh. Yep. And we've already had presidential candidates that said that they would repeal that on a federal level. And it's just unfucking believable. So to think that in the 80s, people were straight closeted. Oh, yeah, yeah. It does. Sorry.
Right.
So, I mean, it's interesting when you think about it, because a lot of these people who were, you know, who were closeted homosexuals just would not in any way, shape, or form make it known to anybody.
Right.
Yep, they just completely refused. And, I mean, that's good, because it would have been career suicide for them, which is insane to think now.
Yeah, if you had I wouldn't really say he's... like fits the mold of like your typical lead role person. I mean, he wasn't like a horrible looking person, but
no.
You know,
he
if you have
out a lot of people,
what's that?
He beat out a lot of people.
Yeah, but I'm saying though, like having those looks, scoring a lead role in a movie, you know, if you were a gay man at that time, you know, they're gonna be like, well, what the hell are you doing this for? You know, why are you even bothering?
That'd be the only focal point.
Yeah,
that
they'd be like,
have.
You're gay, no one's gonna believe this role, kind of thing.
Well, especially because you can't. I'm sure a lot of the perspective of it is that you can't be a gay guy playing a straight man.
Yeah.
Except for how many fucking years did we get straight men playing gay guys on TV and film? We still do.
They're just good actors.
Yeah. So the double standard is completely insane. Yeah. But I mean, what other other actors that were that got beat out for that role, right?
Brad Pitt, John Stamos, and Christian Slater all actually auditioned for it.
And those are some of the biggest, even at that time. Those actors
definitely.
Were,
and they,
Brad, with the exception of John Stamos,
yeah. He didn't audition for the role, but they did consider Michael J. Fox, but he was already obligated with Back to the Future and Teen Wolf.
That probably would have been freaking career suicide for him. So if he did not do the Back to the Future,
that would have been.
I think even Teen Wolf would, had he not done Back to the Future, Teen Wolf would have been on his resume, and that would have killed him forever. Because that movie sucks. It's great. It's fun. It just sucks. Nobody wants that on their resume. Or Jason Bateman in Teen Wolf 2.
Yeah, I was going to say Teen Wolf 2 is probably second best for the one that you didn't want to do.
Teen Wolf 2 is the second best Teen Wolf movie of all time.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a lot of, you look at those now, those are like hyper-masculine guys, but also, you know, heartthrobs in a sense.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
John Stamos is like 70 years old, and he's still the hottest goddamn thing on the planet.
Yeah,
like
everyone's
I just want to
get chlamydia from him.
Yeah, I just want to wring out his pillowcases with all that freaking Grecian grease that he has on there, and just put it all over my body.
Wow.
I bet he smells like yogurt.
Yogurt.
Yogurt can go right to hell.
So, do you like Greek yogurt?
I like Greek.
You like Greek? Like John Stamos Greek?
Yes, yes.
Oily Greekness.
Oh, I just got mucus in my mouth. Anyway.
Like John Stamos.
Oh.
Oh, God, the mucus out of those membranes.
He's leaking profusely mucusy nonsense out of his body.
I'd fuck him. We're trying to cut this back in as easily as we possibly can. Because we had to cut it last time because Mac like almost burned down.
Yeah.
Not him, but his house.
Stupid blue cunt fire.
The blue cunt
the
fire.
The blue cunt fire.
The blue gash fire.
Yes, the blue gash fire. Yeah, so he had to bone the fuck out. So, yeah, we're happy to come back a different day.
Fuck us all up for a little bit there, though. That's they just
it's
know.
Still it's still raging.
It's raging pretty hard right now. It's like
freeways
like
my boner.
Major. Yeah, the freeways are now open up. For anyone who listens to this next year.
Just next
whatever.
Year. Yeah, just next year.
Yeah.
It'll probably be open when you listen to it, so.
Okay.
It'd be weird if there was, like, a fire on it, like, a year from now.
Like, goddamn, they're fucking they're premonition. They know things. So we're back to day drinking.
Yeah.
We were day drinking last
Even
time.
Earlier this time, which is great.
Yeah, this is true. What is it? I think it was, like, 4 or 5 last time. Now it's
1:15.
Yeah.
It's way earlier.
Next week it'll be 9 a.m. Day drinking.
Yeah. What the F are you doing?
Day drinking all the time.
Sorry.
They don't say drink.
You bring, whatever. This, you bring this trash in my house?
We need a soundboard.
It followed me here.
I need a place to stay.
I got nowhere else to go.
Oh, no, I hate you.
Oh, shit.
So, yes, we were talking to... We were talking about the actors that were up for the role for Nightmare on Elm Street, but we kind of were going to go into, I don't know, if it, can you call Mark Patton a legend at this point? No.
I
would emphatically no.
Call him, and he'd probably answer.
Oh,
call
him maybe.
Yeah. Call him maybe, yes.
Yes, so Maclek has a lot of facts that I had no idea about this guy.
Fact checker.
His
Snopes.com is our source.
Yeah.
And Onion.
The Onion is the greatest source ever.
About Patton.
The movie. Not the actor. Only did 3 movies. One before Nightmare 2 and one after, I believe. And then got HIV after becoming an interior decorator.
Game
and then
over,
got
man.
HIV.
Did he sit on a needle like on a sofa, like it was just sticking out, or did he fuck on it? I'm so confused.
They believe he got it. His life partner or whatever died from HIV.
Or whatever.
So you knew, whatever you want to call it. For
that was so homophobic. Whatever that asshole is.
Literally
wasn't about the person.
Certainly not a boyfriend.
The title.
So so the life partner had it, died, and then.
They think he got it from him, but he got tested routinely and always came up negative.
You think we would get sued if we spread the rumor that Robert Englund gave Mark Patton AIDS?
I think Robert Englund could still probably kick your ass.
It's true.
Probably.
He's 60 pounds sopping wet and would still stab the shit out of me.
I will haunt your dreams! Fuck, dude, calm down. It was just an acting role.
Easy there, buddy. His receding hairline is no joke, though. Don't ever make fun of that.
No joke.
Yeah. So, well, actually, it's kind of interesting. We were talking about this because they did this. Oh, yeah. I know. They did decide to make a documentary on Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, and it is gonna kind of feature all of the gayness. Is that a word?
The gayness, you know.
Highlight the homoeroticism.
The gayness with the gays.
Yeah. They're basically going to chronicle the making of Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 and the aftermath
the
of it.
Undertones of...
And overtones. Yep.
Of the homoerotic...
Yeah, was it a Kickstarter? Yeah. They were doing a Kickstarter that created for... so Mark Patton was going to be the lead in it again. And it was kind of going to chronicle his life because... He's been kind of damaged from this movie because of it. You know, I mean, being a gay actor in the 80s wasn't easy. But him trying to...
Yeah, we saw.
He had men coming out of him.
It must have
and
been
going
super
into
hard
him.
Because that movie was something else.
Did you just say that movie was super hard? Never mind.
That movie got him super hard.
So the Kickstarter actually did make its goal. It is called Scream Queen. So it's about Mark Patton. So anyways, we're going to play a quick trailer for you for that. So keep an eye out for it. I don't know when the release date is set. Like I said, it did get funded. So we'll have to keep an ear out and see when it is going to be released. But yeah, here is Scream Queen. Scream, comma, Queen.
Released in 1985. I'm the star of that film. I played a character named Jesse Walsh, and little did I know the effect that he would have on my life.
There is no more Jesse.
Please welcome Mr. Mark Patton, ladies and gentlemen.
I remember the first time I saw Nightmare on Elm Street 2, I was about 11 or 12.
Nightmare 2 is kind of like being gay in a sense, because you know it's different, but you don't know why.
It's almost kind of a siren song for the queer horror film community.
For a lot of us, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 was our introduction to like S&M with Coach Snyder in the showers.
It wasn't subtext, it was right there. It was towel snapping. Mark Patton's he's a scream queen.
When The Village Voice came out after the movie opened and called it this great gay movie, we all had a huge laugh. We thought it was the funniest thing. Where did they get that from?
Native Magazine said this is the first gay movie. And then I was like, yeah. I knew we were treading in there. I knew we were tiptoeing around this.
Mark and I are nose to nose, and I've got the claw on him like this.
I'm playing with oral there. I'm playing with a lot of symbolism there.
At a Q&A for Nightmare 2 with Word of God, 7 out of 10 times, the first question is, did you know that this was a gay undertone film? And I usually just kind of break out with, thought I didn't, and I just try to have some fun with it.
Is this a sexual interview, do you know?
Oh God, here we go. I was really dancing to a combination of Tina Turner's Steel Claw and Private Dancer, which is really embarrassing. But this has turned out to be a lot of people's favorite part of this movie.
He has that vulnerability and that sex appeal and just everything that goes into being a scream queen.
The heroes who seem like they're invulnerable are not that interesting. The heroes that feel like they could fall off the wire at any time are much more interesting.
This documentary is not about 2015. It's about 1985.
Some of the circumstances around the making of this film created a lot of hurt for him.
I don't know what happened 30 years ago to make him quit acting.
It's a very strange time.
In 1985, Hollywood was very homophobic and very AIDS phobic. And when you signed a contract for a television series, they gave you a blood test. So if you were gay, you were hiding.
I think that it was not okay to be a gay actor in Hollywood at the time.
I wake up in the middle of the first movie that I'm the lead actor in and realize that there's a gay subtext in it.
I was a gay person and I was living in terror.
Did I actually quit acting because of Nightmare on Elm Street 2?
You had a goal in your life to be a movie star and you sort of got there and then you chose to not. And what I wanted to say is, I think it's time that you just let it go.
Nightmare on Elm Street 2 was one of the first films I saw that was relatable to me.
And that was the first time that I saw the hero of the movie be a sissy boy, an angsty boy.
All of these other people can say whatever they want to. This is about for those boys who are sitting in a room, they looked up at the screen and they saw themselves. It's gonna happen one way or another. So I should just go ahead and tell the truth.
Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street. So, I kind of got to ask, like, a serious question, at least.
Are you serious?
Are you gay? Billy, we've been wondering for years.
What do you mean?
What makes you think that? Do you think, because it became, like, a positive thing for the homosexual community. Like, they talk about it in the documentary thing that a lot of people
talking
see
to me?
Themselves. I'm just looking at you. intensely.
And now, Deep Thoughts by Jack
Deep
Kennedy.
Breaths.
And now, Deep Throat.
So knowing that he's impacted, not compacted, but impacted a lot of...
Never mind.
Shut up, Billy.
Rectally impacted.
I was going to say chocolate impacted.
I was going to say compacted feces.
There's a lot of trashy jokes here, man.
Yeah. This is getting bad.
This is the best we got. We haven't drank enough yet.
So, yeah, I mean, do you think knowing that he's, like, helped out a lot of people, at least, you know, for as stupid as it sounds, that they look at a horror movie and was like, hey, I can see myself in that movie. Do you think he... Mark Patton particularly should be grateful for that, or should he still look at it as a huge frown because it kind of ruined his life?
Look at it as an impact as far as...
A positive thing.
Like this movie impacted people's lives?
Yeah, positively. Okay. Or should he more or less just look at it as like, this movie ruined mine. It helped people, but it ruined mine.
Well, being that he's an advocate now for the HIV, I mean, he should feed off of the positive feedback, whether it impacts him negatively or not. He's still helping other people. So he should probably look at it as a positive. No pun intended.
An HIV positive. I get it.
What a dick. But no, he should look at it from a positive point of view that it's helping other people. You know, even if it was a shitty moment of his life and career, he's doing other stuff now that's away from it, and he's kind of tapping back into it with the movie that's coming out.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see in the documentary. I just hope that it did, that he's at least able to move on now after all these years. Maybe it was kind of cathartic in a sense, making the documentary and kind of going out to conventions. Because as far as I know, I think he kind of just dropped out of the public eye because of it.
Well, so yeah, he was probably kind of embarrassed about it,
yeah,
too. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, looking at it from that aspect, I hope everything is working out with him in that sense. Because, yeah, nobody wants to be known for that one movie role.
Unfortunately, when you do go to a convention, there's, you know, that corner of chairs that house the actors who were, like, Guy Who Died 3 in that movie that happened in Part 4. You know, that's,
those are always the saddest tables. They just look so sad. They're like peddling autographs, like it's heroin.
It's not even like, it's not even the full like 4 or 5 foot table.
No,
it's like a chair.
Yeah, it's like just them in their lap. Like they just have their pictures.
It looks like he's waiting for someone to use the restroom.
They have their headshots on their lap, just waiting. Yeah,
it's like, oh, who did you? Oh, that's you.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be at Frankenstein's this weekend, guys.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know if he could be considered, because he was the leading role. You know, I mean, that movie actually did pretty well, you know, being...
It did turn a profit, yeah?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it made money?
It did. Oh, I mean, over the course, yeah, it said that it made... They made it for $3 million, and it made $3.3 million on opening weekend and $29 million overall.
Damn. Okay.
So it did.
That's good for a horror movie.
Pretty good. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, at least at that time too, and for a sequel.
Yeah, but again, being that it was still not as good as other sequels, you know. But it was still a decent, you know, because it was bringing back the icon on there. I was looking on here too, it was saying that Freddy Krueger was only in it for 13 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a human story. Like, yeah, it was really designed around Jesse's story.
That's what I was saying. Like, it was probably, the entire thing was most likely just in his head. Like, when it comes out to it, you know, it was just using Freddy as kind of like a, like, they probably could have made the movie without Freddy. Mm-hmm. And it would have been,
yeah,
you know,
it would have been a good psychological
some
horror.
Some psycho kid.
Yeah, it would have been good psychological horror. That's why I think we talked about earlier, is that it was good that they branched out, because after that, it just became a formulated Nightmare on Elm Street. You go to sleep,
kids
you get killed.
Dream,
yeah.
Get killed, and
so
then they were
some
back.
Sort of fantastic dream where you can turn into somebody and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where do you rate Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 in the grand scheme of things? Because a lot of people will say it's the worst, the absolute worst of the bunch.
Well, being that it has absolutely nothing to do except for having Freddy Krueger with the rest of the franchise. So that being the only thing, like, I probably wouldn't even really consider it, you know, being a Nightmare on Elm
Street.
That's
a goddamn cop out. That's a fucking cop out.
But how is that a cop out? I'm just saying, I wouldn't put it under
the
category
top
of that.
10,
like,
Nightmare on Elm Streets.
It's definitely top 10 Nightmare on Elm Street. There's only 9
it's
of
the
them.
Best of its kind. It's the best of its kind.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
How about you, Mac? Like, what do you think of it?
That's
a hard film to, I don't know.
Well, like you mentioned, that part of its strong qualities are also what brought it down, especially compared to the rest of the series. So, if you look at it just after it came out, and you only have the two to compare to each other,
why would you go watch Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah, so you...
What do you mean?
Like, why would you go watch Nightmare on Elm Street? After coming out of Nightmare 1, why would you go back and see Part 2?
Like, what about the original made you want to come back for an addition?
Because it was... You'd want to go see it because at the time, it would be something that was new, the dream kind of thing.
Yeah, but who, like...
Being, but yeah, you would still... You'd
want
to see
Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, that's exactly who
you'd
want to see. Which they have in the second one, so I mean, it's
yeah,
not like
but
he's not
I think
there.
It was kind of just he was thrown in there to appease, you know, it was kind
but
of
there's a big difference thinking about the direction on how they changed it just after the second one, and then now retroactively looking at it after they have 9 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
and
I don't think they expected that either.
How
in a crossover franchise, with
yeah,
who thinks their series is going to turn out to be a fucking, you know, an
they,
ongoing?
They talked about it Right away. That's why the second one came out. They wanted to turn it into another Friday the 13th.
It came
franchise,
but movies,
yeah. And that's
at
why
that time,
Craven left.
Like even for like Halloween or you know like Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
I don't think they expected to be making Jason X.
Well, maybe not Nightmare on Elm Street is kind of different because it came out in '84, and that was 4 years after Friday. That was 6 years after Halloween or whatnot. So I think they may have actually gone into it trying to create some sort of. I know Wes Craven didn't.
What other movies past like set aside from like The Godfather have gone three or more?
Leprechaun. Wow, we're on the same page.
But this came out before Leprechaun.
Puppet Master.
Before Puppet Master.
Oh, before then. Okay.
Yes.
Evil Bong.
I'm saying that these are the like you didn't see like Day of the Dead. You know that was part of the trilogy.
Well,
you
I mean there
I mean?
Was
like,
there was
you didn't really go past three at this point.
Well, there
we're
was
only at two so far. But
The Sound of Music Part Two, but it was just How the War Was Won is what it was called.
Wow. It was the view from the German side. We won. And it was beautiful.
Yeah, so actually...
Hitler can carry a tune.
So this has been part two of our sex trilogy. Next week, we are going to discuss Alien. But any last words on Nightmare on Elm Street part two? Before we have a shenanigan.
Last.
If you're a fan of the series, it's kind of... like the red-headed stepchild of it. You watch it so that you've
just
watched all of them.
On.
Yeah.
Even though you're not really continuing on anything. It's
yeah, but you probably wouldn't love it. It's definitely entertaining,
it's like,
though.
It's like
it
a
has
piece
its
of corn.
Entertainment value well, for sure.
What does that analogy mean? It's like a
because
piece of
corn?
Corn's
filler.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's like shit, and it always pops up when you take a shit.
Yeah, it just keeps coming back when you don't want it to.
It never fully digests.
It helps
it just
poop float.
Sticks around.
Just remember, folks, if people can like Batman versus Superman, you can like Nightmare on Elm Street too.
Wow.
Like
for different reasons.
And that's sad because, you know, there was Batman Forever and Batman and Robin.
Yeah, but they weren't 2 hours, almost 3 hour movies, though.
Yeah, but
at least it was
still,
only an hour and 40 minutes of Val Kilmer.
There was still, it's
Tommy
an
Lee
hour
Jones
and a half
chewing up
rubber nipples.
An hour and a half of titty twisting.
Rubber nipples?
Rubber nipples, titty twisting, bat thongs.
And butt zippers.
Butt zippers.
Was there butt? Hold on, am I
it wasn't
remembering
a butt
this correctly?
Zipper. It was like a hard line crease going right
okay.
up the middle.
Where do yeah, I? Where am I getting this idea? That I have this image in my head, and it could be from a porn, but I have this image in my head of
Batman
a superhero movie
goes down
where like there's like a zipper where right in where the butthole is. Nobody knows this. I don't know.
Yeah,
I could have just imagined this.
I didn't see that one.
I'm turning this into a story tonight.
We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Stop it. You're full of shit.
Oh.
What about you,
Billy?
Any last words?
No, just I mean if you're like we touched a little earlier on the effects and everything, so if you're like big on effects, I love special effects. I love, you know, natural effects. So it definitely has a lot of good
practical
effects. Yes.
Absolutely.
So if you want to see some cool things like that, you know, then definitely it's one to check out. But I mean, don't look forward to anything past really that. I mean,
it's a short movie. Hour and 25 minutes. It's short. Like it's you can bang it out in a sex session. Really
in
fast.
In a sex session. You don't even have to watch the movie to get what happens
yeah,
in it.
No.
No.
Just
a lot
just
of
don't
loud
skip
screams.
The bedroom dance scene.
Yes. That's a must.
We'll have an entire episode on the bedroom dance scene one of these days.
Wow.
Just an entire hour-long podcast.
Your punishment is to
you
learn
have to,
the
you
dance.
Have to reenact
a
10-hour
loop of that. Yeah, yeah, that's a good shenanigan. We'll have to videotape that one time.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Well, yeah, so.
Shenanigan time.
So Billy's got to get the dice. Ben, I need headphones. So I told Billy, I haven't told Mac like yet. Since I went two times in a row, I'm fucking exempt this time.
I don't
Y'all
I don't
can
think
suck it.
I don't think that's fair.
So you guys roll, and one of you
not,
are going to get it.
That's not how the game is
that's
supposed to
that's
work.
That's how it goes.
That's not how life goes, Michael.
I hate it so bad.
Burn. To be honest, the second one wasn't nearly as bad as the first one.
No, God, no. Although it wasn't as bad either times for either of you, so you all can fuck right off. I got water in my nose last time.
Okay, I'll tell you this. Okay, I'll tell you this for today. We'll give you the one freebie.
Yay!
But
thanks, Dad.
You're no longer exempt.
What we should do, fine. We should give him the one freebie on the one roll. So we'll roll it right now. If it lands on Mike's number, he doesn't get it. But if we roll it again and it lands on his number again, then
I like Billy's idea.
Screwed.
I like Billy's idea better.
Choking on water here.
So yeah. What we're gonna do is we're gonna do a whisper challenge this time around. So basically, whoever the loser is, I've wrote up a list of random ass sentences, super fucking random ass sentences, and whoever gets the number called on the die is in charge of putting the headphones on, having to listen to music, and try to recite what the other person's saying to them from the sentence. So if anything, I'll probably just give the other person, Billy or Maclock, whoever doesn't get rolled on, they can read the sentences off. So
you should get a 10-hour loop of the song
Jeopardy
from?
Theme.
No, because you still hear through.
This
that.
Is my you're horse.
Like, what is love?
Oh, or Rick Roll.
This is my horse. My horse is amazing.
Rick Ashley.
So hold on, Rick. No, of all the 10-hour loops, the greatest one I found was the song "I Miss You" from Blink-182. But
That's torture right
no,
there.
No, but it's only Tom DeLonge's verse looped for 10 hours. Oh. So it's just his verse, a chorus, and then it loops again. Where are you?
Ouch.
And I'm so sorry.
It hurts
it's
already.
So bad. I got 34 minutes in yesterday at work.
I hope I don't.
Yeah.
Were you there when we did the This Is My Horse loop?
Mm-mm.
Eldridge and I.
I did.
And Johnny had to come in and shut it off after we were like 3 hours in.
Oh, really? I did. my buddy Kevin and I did Careless Whisper, just the sax part. We got an hour and like 15 or 16 minutes in before manager told us to turn it off. But we had it loud, like they could hear it in home theater.
Was it super sex?
No, it wasn't. It was the actual version, but yeah.
Nice. Okay, so Michael is
so hold on,
one.
Hold on. No, I'm exempt, so fuck y'all.
Yeah,
you're,
but it's
your
still
odds,
on the...
Your odds, your evens.
Yeah, but what if...
So if it lands on one or three,
so
Billy
three
gets it.
Me,
if it lands on two or four, it's
two
Maclock.
Two or four is Maclock.
Yep.
So it's basically you have to try to lip read the other person?
Yeah. So you're going to put headphones on, have
who's,
to listen to music,
who's
so you have to
read?
Lip read.
Can we do like both to try to get a better read if one...
What?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, if you like.
So you have two people trying
to
participate
thing.
In the lip reading. We're both throwing out our ideas of the bullshit that's being read.
I could do that.
Okay.
Do we have another set of headphones?
What?
We'd only need the two.
Yeah, well, these ones are running everything, so.
Oh.
I suppose. I don't know. Well, you're gonna have two people reading it? Or
No. Two people are going to try to guess it
no,
while one
two
person
people guessing.
It.
That's why you need the other pair of headphones so they can't hear.
Nah, we'll
but
just
then,
do one.
Yeah,
whatever.
Then,
you got to look at them dead on, and
yeah.
I can't do this back and forth. So.
Okay.
All right. Billy's so one and three. Maclock's two and four. Go. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Whatever. All right. Let's do this. Come on. Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Dicks out for Harambe.
My ding-a-ling. Four.
Four.
Bing.
Aha!
Quattro.
All right. So... I'll let you choose whatever music you want to listen to or song. That's up to you.
You need a...
So throw your phone in, put some music on.
I could just plug it in find a to my phone. And
oh. Are you going to pick?
Huh? Are you going to be DJ? Because I don't want to listen to fucking Maiden. To what?
I don't want to listen to Maiden.
To Maiden?
To Maiden. All right, I got to pull my list up here.
That's going to be the worst part.
Just having to listen to potentially Iron Maiden while doing it is the worst. Okay, hold on. Let me see. Aha!
I think this will work here.
Did you make sure you turned the volume down before you turned it on?
Just blares. Can you hear?
That's not that loud.
Okay.
Can you hear? Can you hear?
I can. Yeah. When you talk at that volume, the first volume was loud enough that I could make it everything out, but
you
can require.
Turn it up more. Turn it up. Don't fucking kill him. But
yeah, just go a little higher. We'll just really... I'm going to start talking really loud in the microphone because I can't hear. Oh, yeah, that's too loud. A little
More or less.
Down a little bit. Like one notch. There you go. That's fine.
You can hear me. Can you hear me now?
That'll let me sit
can
down.
Can you hear me now?
No.
You can't hear me now. What's the music
just,
sound like?
Just keep saying standard sentences so I can get your lip patterns.
Yeah, you have to enunciate.
Put the music on the microphone.
No, I'm not going to put your ass on the microphone.
No.
So you can hear what it is.
Hold on. You're making him listen to porno music?
At least it could actually have the live sounds in the background.
He's just going to moan out of nowhere for some reason. Okay. All right. All right, Billy.
He's got a good waffle.
Here's the list.
How many does he have to do?
8.
Yes, you have to do all 8?
Yep. You have 8.
Okay.
Eight unless words? It takes forever. Unless eight. You suck
so
really
like
hard at this.
It's like charades.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see the first sentence. I gotta see what the first sentence is.
Tentacle rape.
Okay. Hold on. Here, I'm gonna pass it off to you. Okay. Close your eyes. I'm gonna announce it.
close your eyes and your ears.
The first line is, Trump smells stinky snatch.
Hurry before I get seduced by this smooth black voice.
Okay.
He's like, this is the weirdest boner ever.
First word.
Trump smells stinky snatch.
Was it first word what he's saying? Like,
no.
Like
you
a
have,
whole
you have to read
sentence.
The whole thing.
I have to try sentence. To say the entire sentence?
The entire sentence.
Oh, so those are 8 sentences?
Yes.
8 sentences.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was like charades, like 8 words.
No. Right. Trump smells stinky snatch.
The tiny mouse is knee in gash.
Trump smells stinky snatch.
It sounds like like you said shrimp. Shrimp mouth. It doesn't make sense grammatically at all, but I'm just trying to get
Trump
Billy's facial
smells stinky snatch.
Shrimp smells like rotten ass.
Say, do the first word. Okay. First word. Trump.
Stop trying to accentuate the word with your mouth and just Trump. Say it. Drummer.
Trump.
Strummer. Got it. I got nothing.
Okay.
First word is second. Mystery. Second word.
No.
Second sentence.
We're going off of that one.
Hold on. Read what it is in your microphone.
Okay.
Quietly.
I gash on the nightly.
I just keep peeing, oh yeah, baby, in a smooth, deep black voice.
Hold on. Pick an instrumental for him to listen to.
Is it saying, oh yeah, baby?
No, it's just because
I just
the
keep
words,
hearing someone else's words.
Yeah.
Words?
Okay.
Yeah.
Just pick an instrumental. Just pick classical music or something stupid. Because that's what I was listening to when I was trying it out, was just instrumental.
We got a 10-hour epic sax guy loop.
There you go. Working?
At least it doesn't have words in it.
Okay, yeah. All right, so second sentence. All
right, second sentence. I gash on the nightly.
I look like you said I gashed.
I gashed.
On the dog.
On the nightly.
I gashed on the
nightly.
Nothing.
Nightly.
Gash nightly.
There you go.
We'll give it to you.
Yep.
Turn it all up right. A little bit.
This one's quieter.
Is it continuous? Like, is it flowing music?
Is it looping?
Yeah, it's looping. It's fine. Okay. It just, this one's, its levels were a little bit quieter than the other one.
Yeah.
There you go.
Go. Say it in the microphone.
Here. Go ahead. All right. Go ahead.
Pound meat into Pandora's box.
Something mouth bit into.
Pound meat into Pandora's box.
Mike bit into a mouse gash.
How does box smell like gash? Well, I guess box does smell like gash.
It does. It's the same thing.
I don't like fucking saxophone.
Pound meat into Pandora's box.
The last word, box?
Yep.
Yes. Pound meat into Pandora's box. Pound.
I think they're saying mound.
Pound.
Close.
Pound?
There you
pound.
Go.
Yes. Meat. Pound meat.
Pound me? That's not a request.
Close.
It's a request from Billy, but it's not a request.
We did just watch Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2.
Pound meat?
Meat. Into Pandora's box. Into Pandora's box.
It looks like some word that starts with a P kind of box.
Yes.
Okay.
Pound meat into a
Pandora's
Pangor box. I don't know.
Close.
All right. Well, moving on.
Have Mike read one.
I'll try. I'll do the next one.
Because you're. Just speak it regularly. You're trying to mouth the words to me, and it's making it more difficult.
You talk through your teeth.
All right, I'll pick.
I can't hear his rebuttal.
You ready?
So.
Okay. She farts Cheeto dust.
he's doing it too.
Yeah, just speak regularly.
She farts Cheeto dust.
Was the first word chief?
She farts Cheeto dust. She.
Chink.
Jesus Christ. She. She.
She.
Jean.
She.
She.
Jean. Vagina?
She.
She farts. Farts.
Farts?
She farts Cheeto dust.
Something farts into a condom?
That's gross. That's
good. Why would she
fart into a condom? I'm just going to fart into a condom. No. Cheeto dust. Cheeto dust. Cheeto.
A Cheeto?
Dust.
Cheeto farts?
She farts Cheeto dust.
I got nothing. Cheeto farts in my Levi's.
All right, one more. All right. Four words. Bloody bats burn brightly.
Bloody
bats.
Bloody basket.
Bloody bats.
I got bloody. Bloody bathroom.
Bloody bats.
Bloody batting.
Bloody bats.
Bloody bat.
Burn.
Bloody bat boy.
Bloody bat boy.
Bloody bat burn.
Yeah. Bloody bats burn brightly.
Bloody bat burn brightly.
There you go.
Boom.
Clap it up.
Nice. All
right.
I want to try one.
You want to try one?
I want to. Let me try one.
Billy's got one.
I got one.
I'm going to get
fucking.
Then we gotta wrap this up.
Saxophone music out of my head.
Ooh, baby. He doesn't even want to play the game. He just wants to listen to the stupid song.
That's all he wanted.
Fuck. I'm sorry, what? Huh?
This music is horrible.
Okay, here's the sentence. Here's the sentence. Flamboyant, fabulous, Freddy Fingers. Ready? Flamboyant, fabulous, Freddy Fingers. He just gave me this most scared, shitless look on his face.
He now just realized why I was so confused.
Flamboyant,
Fat Boys?
No. You fucking legend. Flamboyant, fabulous, Freddy Fingers.
Flamboyantly?
Yep. Flamboyant, fabulous, Freddy Fingers.
Mike's starting to get a nice inflection when he says fabulous.
Flamboyant, family, fat fish? Is that what you said?
first words, flamboyantly?
Yeah, flamboyant.
Flamboyant?
Yes.
Flamboyant.
Stop yelling at me.
Yeah, hey, he's gonna do that.
What's the word? Ah! Flamboyant, fabulous,
fappy. Flamboyant.
Flamboyant.
I'm weak. Flamboyant, fabulous,
fabulous, fabulous, okay.
He's trying to say it. He just okay. I give up.
Yeah, you know
flamboyant,
what I mean.
Flamboyant, fabulous, Freddy Fingers.
What's the last?
Freddy Fingers.
Favors.
Speak a little quietly.
Freddy Fingers. Freddy Fingers.
Freddy Fingers.
There you go. Now say the whole thing.
Flamboyant. Fabulous Freddy Finger.
There you
another
go.
Word right. Billy can't pronounce.
Jesus Christ. It's the most illiterate fuck. You know? I don't know words.
Holy shit. God. Did you hear the music?
Heard it.
It hurts. Jeez.
Oh, man. So, yes. Well, that was interesting. So, thank you very much for joining us for part two of our sex trilogy. But this is episode 4 of the Uncanny Valley podcast. And this is Mike.
Mac Leck.
And Billiam.
We are signing out. Thanks for listening. And we will catch you next time where we will be discussing Ridley Scott's 1979 epic and sex rape thingy.
Sexlians from...
Aliens.
Sex planet.
From Sex V426.
I'm pretty sure English is not Billy's first language. I'm just going to go out on a limb there and say that. But yes, thank you for joining us. We'll catch you guys next time.
Gracias.